Thank you, Sean. I want to welcome you also in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ on this Father's Day. Put my glasses on. I want to wish you all, you fathers, a happy Father's Day. We honour our fathers this Sunday, and how do we do that? 10 years ago, I travelled home to my dad's funeral. And I thought about the impact that my father had on my life. As I'm sure all of you have about your fathers. Sometimes my dad was pretty hard on me because he wanted what I want for my sons. He wanted them to be a better adult. And in preparing for that funeral, the undertaker told me, he says, you get one chance to honour your parents, to honour your father. I thought about that. And I don't necessarily agree with that. And the reason is, I think you honour your parents by the way you live your life. By those values that they installed in you. My dad had his faults. He was an amazing man. There was nothing that he couldn't turn his hands to. He taught me many things. My two older brothers didn't really get along very well with my dad, and I missed out on an incredible amount of information that he had, which I believe was a loss for them. The Father is the protector. Is Christ not our protector? I want to go to 461 in the Book of Mormon page, and it's Alma 20. Got to find it myself. Verse 51 through 54. And they were doing that which they felt was the duty which they owed to their God. For the Lord had said unto them, and also unto their fathers, that inasmuch as they are not guilty of the first offense, neither the second, yea, shall not suffer yourselves to be slain by the hands of your enemies. And again, the Lord has said that ye shall defend your families even unto bloodshed. Therefore, for this cause, were the Nephites contending with the Lamanites to defend themselves and their families and their lands, their country, their rights, and their religion. And it came to pass that when the men of Moroni saw the fierceness and the anger of the Lamanites, they were about to shrink and flee from them. And Moroni, perceiving their intent, sent forth and inspired their hearts with these thoughts, yea, the thoughts of their lands, their liberty, yea, their freedom from bondage. And it did come to pass that they turned upon the Lamanites, and they cried with one voice unto the Lord their God for their liberty and for their freedom from bondage. And they began to stand against the Lamanites with power, and in the selfsame hour that they cried unto the Lord for their freedom, the Lamanites began to flee before them, and they fled even to the waters of Sidon. You know, you fathers have an awesome responsibility. I find that even myself, that I don't take that lightly with my children and those that are around me. I want you to go to Alma, the 26th chapter. It's page 514. And this is talking about the 2,000 young men that were with Helaman. Because I believe that God honors our prayers and our desires to know him, that we believe in him with all our heart. It's the 26th chapter of Alma, and I'm going to read from the 53rd down through the 67th. And now I say unto you, my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not amongst all the Nephites. For as I had ever called them my sons, for they were all of them very young, even so they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer that we shall fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would not let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt, our mothers knew. And it came to pass that I did return to my 2,000 against these Lamanites who had pursued us. And now behold, the armies of Antipas had overpowered them, and a terrible battle had commenced. And the army of Antipas, being weary because of their long march and so short a space of time, were about to fall into the hands of the Lamanites. And had I not returned with my 2,000, they would have obtained their purpose. For Antipas had fallen by the sword and many of his leaders, therefore, because of their weariness, which was occasioned by the speed of the march, therefore the men of Antipas being confused because of the fall of their leaders, began to give way before the Lamanites. And it came to pass that the Lamanites took courage and began to pursue them. And thus were the Lamanites pursuing them with great vigor, when Helaman came upon their rear with 2,000 and began to slay them exceedingly, insomuch that the whole army of the Lamanites halted and turned upon Helaman. Now when the people of Antipas saw that the Lamanites had turned them about, they gathered together their men and came again upon the rear of the Lamanites. And now it came to pass that we, the people of Nephi, the people of Antipas, and I, with my 2,000, did surround the Lamanites and did slay them, yea, and so much that they were compelled to deliver up their weapons of war, and also themselves as prisoners of war. And now it came to pass that when they had surrendered themselves up unto us, behold, I numbered those young men who had fought with me, fearing lest there were many of them slain. But behold, to my great joy, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, they had fought as if the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength. And with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites, that they did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. This didn't happen just once. It happened twice. Did your father install that kind of faith in you? That you should believe like these young men? You see, my father didn't go to church. In fact, I knew nothing about religion. We lived in the middle of nowhere. My mother was Catholic, my dad was Presbyterian, and so rather than the fights between religions, they decided that it was better that we didn't know anything about it. And you know, in some ways, I'm kind of, I have a unique perspective because I have the opportunity to look at things differently without prejudice. You know, the Lord sometimes, and there's examples of that, that people that never hear that gospel, when they do find it and have the power of God work upon them, it changes that very big person, as it did me. You know, my dad was an unusual man. I say that unusual, but you know, it probably in these days it is. I never ever seen my dad tell a lie to anyone. Never. He managed the sawmill. Worked 7 days a week, almost all his life. Never heard him complain. Worked really hard. And I see that even in my brothers and sisters, you know, that we all have those kind of work ethics. But, and I remember as a young boy that I was going out to the bush with my dad one day, and there was something that needed to be fixed out there. I don't know what day it was. It either would have been Saturday or Sunday. And a man stopped him. And he asked him, he says, do you know where there's some place where I can prospect for gold? My dad told him, he says, there was a creek and we just had a flood. And so, you know, if you know anything about gold mining, you know, sometimes as the creeks run, it washes more gold or uncovers it. And so, told him where to go. And I was fairly young. I thought, now, why aren't we going? It seemed like a logical question to me. Why aren't we going to get that gold? He said, oh, we've got better things to do, son. But it made an impression on me that it was nothing that he wanted to follow a dream. All he wanted to do was work and then retire. And he bought my grandmother's house, my grandmother and grandfather's house, up in Havelock at the Sounds, and he bought himself an old fishing launch that he'd rebuilt and just wanted to go fishing. But he didn't. He said, I remember him telling me, he says, you know, he says, since he retired, he said, he didn't know where he found the time to work. But anyway, he accomplished his dream. And he knew what he wanted to do. It didn't turn out the way that he thought it was going to turn out. But he was satisfied. You know, I find myself that the responsibility of being a parent or being a father is not something that I take very lightly. I used to have a motorcycle, before I married my wife. And I used to fly a lot. And when I got married, I gave those things up. The reason is because it's not about you anymore. In many instances, you know, we're selfish creatures. We want what makes us happy. But once you become a parent, all that changes. Or even a husband. There's things that you willingly give up. You know what destroys most relationships? Selfishness. I want what I want. It's the same thing with our God. You know, and the Lord is the best example of how He teaches us. It's never the good things that happen in your life that change who we are. I always wondered, I always said to myself, you know, Lord, I am not Job. When persecution or trials would come upon us. And I find that as I said in Sunday school this morning, we are so offended by other people because they don't believe like we do, or we don't believe like they do. And yet, I find that I still find common ground to explain my position of where I am as far as what I believe. What it is that changes who we are is our relationship with Christ. We can disagree about many things. I say, I don't like that guy because he doesn't believe this way or whatever. I truly believe that all we do is help one another along our way, our focus. And as a father, what is our focus? Is it the spiritual leader like to protect? What is it that we focus on? Do we focus on our family being more spiritual? Do we focus on that we are trying to prepare the next generation? I wanted my boys to be better adults. Is that by giving them more? No. It's the example that we set for them. The greatest compliment that someone can give you is imitation. That you want to be like them. I wanted to be like my dad. I can honestly say that. Could fix anything. He could fix anything. I can't tell you what kind of a dad you had. But I know my dad changed me, and he prepared me for God. Even though we didn't go to church or anything like that, he prepared me for God. Your basic character, what is it? How can you say to your sons or your daughters, well, I don't want you to do drugs, but yet every Friday, Saturday night, you know, you're down at the pub. Don't steal, but anything off the job site's yours. You know, don't lie, but every word out of your mouth is a lie. It's the example that you set. It is who you are. You know, and it amazes me because sometimes we don't think that God knows all these things. He allowed me to make mistakes, to learn some of the greatest lessons that we learn are when we fall. My parents weren't helicopter parents, and I'm sure you guys know what that means, right? That you hover over them. And we'd always be out building forts and stuff. You know, I got lots of scars on my hands from things that I did. The story of Alma II and his conversion, and many of the sons of Messiah also. And if you go to page 286, the book of Messiah, This is kind of a long, long read. Nevertheless, he cried again, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth, for why persecute thou the church of God? For the Lord hath said, this is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it. It is the transgression of my people. And again the angel said, behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of this people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, who is thy father. For he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. And I want you to think about that. That his father was the one that prayed for him. He knew what he was doing. For he has prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. And now behold, can ye dispute the power of God? For behold, doth not my voice shake the earth? And can ye not also behold me before you? And am I sent from God? Now I say unto thee, go and remember the captivity of thy fathers in the land of Helam and in the land of Nephi, and remember how great things he has done for them. For they were in bondage, and he has delivered them. And now I say unto thee, Alma, go thy way and seek to destroy the church no more, that their prayers may be answered, and this even if thou wilt of thyself be cast off. And now it came to pass that these were the last words which the angel spake unto Alma, and he departed. And now Alma and those that were with him fell again to the earth, for great was their astonishment. For with their own eyes they had beheld an angel of the Lord, and his voice was as thunder which shook the earth. And they knew that there was nothing save the power of God that could shake the earth and cause it to tremble as though it would part asunder. And now the astonishment of Alma was so great that he became dumb, that he could not open his mouth. Yea, He became weak, even that he could not move his hands. Therefore, he was taken by those that were with him and carried helpless, even until he was laid before his father. And they rehearsed unto his father all that had happened unto them, and his father rejoiced, for he knew that it was the power of God. And he caused that a multitude should be gathered together, that they might witness that the Lord had done for his son and also for those who were with him. And he caused that the priests should assemble themselves together, and that they began to fast and to pray to their Lord, their God, that he would open the mouth of Alma that he might speak, and also that his limbs might receive their strength, that the eyes of the people might be opened to see and know of the goodness and glory of God. And it came to pass, after they had fasted and prayed for the space of 2 days and two nights, the limbs of Alma received strength, and he stood up and began to speak unto them, bidding them to be of good comfort. For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit, and the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people must be born again, yea, born of God, changed from their carnal fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they became new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I say unto you, unless this be the case, they must be cast off. And this I know, because I was like to be cast off. Nevertheless, after wading through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy hath seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning. And I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from all, from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God. My soul was wrecked with eternal torment, but I am snatched, and my soul is pain no more. I rejected my Redeemer and denied that which had been spoken of by my Father. But now, that they may foresee that he will come, and that he redeemeth every creature of his creating, he will make himself manifest unto all. Yea, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess unto him. Yea, even at the last day, when all men shall stand to be judged of him, then shall they confess that the Lord, that he is God. Then shall they confess who live without God in the world, that the judgment of an everlasting punishment is just upon them. And they shall quake and tremble and shrink before beneath the glance of his all-searching eye. And now it came to pass that Alma began from this time forward to teach the people and those who were with Alma at the time of the angel appearing unto them, traveling around about through all the land, publishing to all the people the things which they had heard and seen, and preaching the word of God in much tribulation, being greatly persecuted by those who were unbelievers, being smitten by many of them. But notwithstanding all this, they did impact much consolation to the church, confirming their faith and exhorting them with long-suffering much travail to keep the commandments of God. And four of them were the sons of Mosiah, and their names were Ammon, Aaron, Omner, and Himni. These were the names of the sons of Mosiah, and they traveled throughout all the land of Zarahemla, and among all the people who were under the reign of King Mosiah, zealously striving to repair all the injuries which they had done to the church. See, I'm going to make a few assumptions here. You see, my dad, did didn't micromanage my life. He allowed me to make decisions for ourselves, even as young people. My sisters also. Some things, there wasn't allowances, and I'm thankful for that. I believe Alma was the same way. The gospel is choice and decision. It truly is. We have our agency, and as young people, we exercise those things just as Alma did. Because I believe that's why the change in the law was so dramatic. Because it was in the Mosaic law, you did it because you had to. Whereas now, you do it because you want to. That we know who we believe in. You can, there's a scripture in the Bible where he tells his son to go and do something, and the son says, I'm not going to do it. But then later on goes and does it. And the other son, he says, go and do it. He says, oh, I'm going to go and do it, but doesn't go and do it. You see, what kind of character do you have? You see, it truly changed Alma. When I found God, it just changed who I was. Didn't change the basics about me, but it changed who I was. My dad knew some of the lessons, as I see for my children, that will be before them. What's the point in telling them? They don't believe you anyway. But you see these things because you've gone through them. And many of the problems that I had in my life were my own doing. Knew exactly what I was doing. And my earthly father allowed me to suffer the consequences for those things, as did Alma for his son. I think sometimes we drive people away. I say people, I mean our young people. By our hypocrisy. As I've said before, my conversion was dramatic. And yet, the things that I thought were important, that my dad had taught me, weren't that important. And the things that my dad had tried to teach me, I didn't think were very important, became very important. Taught me many things. Honesty. Love and compassion and fairness. There's many other things that he taught me too. But But God was the one that changed my focus. Let's go to the 12th chapter over the page here. And these are others that God had changed. And I'm going to read the first verse through the 14th. Now it came to pass that after the sons of Messiah had done all these things, they took a small number with them and returned to their father, the king, and desired of him that he would grant unto them that they might, with those whom they had selected, go up to the land of Nephi, that they might preach the things which they had heard, and that they might impart the word of God to their brethren, the Lamanites, that perhaps they might bring them to the knowledge of the Lord their God and convince them of the iniquity of their fathers, and that perhaps they might cure them of their hatred towards the Nephite, that they might also be brought to rejoice in the Lord their God, that they might become friendly to one another, and that there should be no more contentions in all the land which the Lord their God had given them. Now they were desirous that salvation should be declared to every creature, for they could not bear that any human soul should perish. Yea, even the very thoughts that any soul should endure endless torment did cause them to quake and tremble. And thus did the Spirit of the Lord work upon them, for they were the very vilest of sinners. And the Lord saw fit in his infinite mercy to spare them. Nevertheless, they suffered much anguish of soul because of their iniquities, and suffered much fearing that they should be cast off forever. And it came to pass that they did plead with their father many days, that they might go up to the land of Nephi. And King Messiah went and inquired of the Lord if he should let his sons go up among the Lamanites to preach the word. And the Lord said unto Messiah, let them go up, for many shall believe on their words, and they shall have eternal life, and I will deliver thy sons out of the hands of the Lamanites. And it came to pass that Messiah granted that they might go and do according to their request. And they took their journey into the wilderness to go up to preach the word among the Lamanites. And I shall give an account of their proceedings hereafter. Now King Messiah had no one to confer the kingdom upon, for there was not any of his sons who would accept the kingdom. I want you to think about that, because it wasn't that gold. It wasn't the things of the world that they were interested in. Did your dad install that in you? He did in me. You see, I sometimes think we lose focus. My dad always, if you asked him something, he would tell you exactly how he saw it. I miss my dad. I look around and I see that you always wonder as a parent whether you do the right thing with your children. Bring them up to be responsible adults. And it is an awesome responsibility. I want you to go to 2 Timothy. And we were there today. We didn't read it today in Sunday school, but it's the first verse of the third chapter there. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We know that. We think that's today, and it is. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. We see on the news things that are done to children. We could never think would be possible for a parent to do without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is today. Oh, to have a dad like I had. Really important. My sisters loved my dad. They truly did. He was their strength. My dad was the glue that held our family together. Usually it's the mothers. But you know what? My dad, he was a pretty awesome dad. And you know, you young men, pray that you have those kind of examples as fathers, that you teach your children. There are some things that aren't negotiable with this world. And for you women, you young women, that you look for a man that is godly, that has those characteristics. And with that, I thank you for your time. And I just praise my Heavenly Father for the dad that he gave me and for each and every one of you. I pray that you receive something out of this message. Thank you. God bless you.